We're in the final stretch. Fair warning, I counted right before I got in here. I say the word data 98 times in this presentation, so I apologize for that in advance. Although I think this might be the crowd that appreciates data that much. So today I'll be talking about, it's a little bit of a twist, it's going back to data acquisition, so back to how you can gather the data to be able to do this kind of work. So I'll be talking about how to leverage partnerships and data in order to improve community health. I don't have any relationships to disclose. So my organization, the Louisiana Public Health Institute, has worked over the past year with a number of partners to solve a problem. The problem we faced is how to get data that truly demonstrates a person's environment, where they work, play, and live. It's challenging to find a variety of valid big data for sub-county or parish, as we call them in Louisiana, levels. So I'll switch between county and parish. I apologize for that as well. So we also know that everybody has data, but nobody has it all in one place. And sharing that data often means trust needs to already have been established. People are protective of their data and how it will be used, as they should be. The partners who've been helping us try to solve this problem come from a variety of sectors. Our university partners have expertise in research and data acquisition. Our partner at the city has a vested interest in helping communities and community organizations use data to become more involved and more informed. Our private sector partner, Northrop Grumman, is using our data to explore new data fusion techniques and is providing expertise in a number of different ways. So together with these partners, we came up with a solution to the problem, the Community Health Database. There are a number of similar efforts happening across the country to bring health data together at a sub-county level. What we think makes our project unique is the model of a collaboration with research, government, and other non-traditional partners to share data into a central database for a variety of uses and users. And our approach is designed to identify community as your neighborhood, your block group, or your street, to get to the smallest geographic level to tell community members with precision what is happening around them. To define health to go beyond the clinical, beyond demographics, and beyond point data. To describe not just the type of stores in your neighborhood, but what kind of tobacco advertising is being displayed in those stores, and linking that to other factors to better predict your health outcomes, such as the air quality in your neighborhood or access to parks. And to create a GIS-based database able to link any type of data together at whatever level is available. From census tract to zip code to intersection, we want to be able to link disparate data sources to create a better picture of your community environment. To achieve this, we developed a plan with five components: recruitment, governance, acquisition, organization, and creation. I'll describe the first four elements of the plan in the following slides. Creation of the full database, this last step, is in planning right now. So first, the pitch to new partners. The pitch we've used is a key component of our success. First, we describe what data we have. Then we describe how we and our partners plan to use that data. Then we describe the governance plan, which I'll go into a bit later. Next comes the most important question: what can you do with our data? Partners have been receptive to being asked how they can use what we have first instead of being asked if we can have their data. Often that's the first question, and it turns people off. Because I start with what would you like from us, I often don't have to ask the last question, as by this point in the pitch, they've already begun to list the data that they can share with us. Through this recruitment, we've added new university partners, such as the UNO Transportation Institute, which is a non-traditional health partner, but is very important in terms of health outcomes. And we've generated interest from partners who want to be involved in the future implementation of the database, like the United Way and the Chamber of Commerce. A key component of this pitch is the governance, or how we will protect their data. LPHI, my organization, is known as a trusted convener. When this project started, it was suggested by our partners, not by us, that the structure they were most comfortable with was a model where LPHI would house the database, and we would be the only partner with direct access to everyone's data. This paved the way for other partners to engage with us, as they trusted LPHI to protect their data in a responsible, reasonable way. We've been able to continue this project without a formal governance structure laid out yet because of our position as the trusted convener. Trust is also important in acquiring data from organizations who, as of now, would not be full partners in this endeavor. For example, the Department of Transportation is not going to be a full partner, but our partnership with the UNO Transportation Institute allows us to access the people to talk to get the data that we need. It's through those organizational and professional contacts that, as I said, university researchers have been able to gain access to data that otherwise we would not have been able to find or have access to. Another kind of interesting, I don't know if it's just a New Orleans way of gaining data or this can work out anywhere else, but through personal relationships. So we had our university partners talking to people they knew had data after spinning class, a couple weeks in a row after spinning class, just reminding them, hey, we're doing this. And my boss talking to his contact at another university during their neighborhood block party about the project, both of which resulted in new partners and new data. So all of these types of trust and relationship building are necessary in order to create a safe place for new partners to share data. So next, as we were able to acquire the data, we experienced both triumphs and trials. Publicly available data was both a triumph and a trial. We discovered new sources, for example, voting data, that was accessible but hard to find, which we counted as a triumph. We also found that in many cases, publicly available also meant available but only at the parish or county level. It was worth it to comb through all of the sources, however, as now we'll be able to identify what we can and we cannot get publicly. Proprietary data we've defined as anything our partners collected themselves. Our founding partners have been willing to share some of their data with us now in advance of a formal governance structure. Again, this is where trust is so important when you're talking about data sharing. Some data sets, however, may be tied to usage restrictions by their funding organizations or by data use agreements. These data sets will need to be dealt with when we begin to develop our own data use agreement in the future. We also looked at other models to find data, and there are a number of fantastic websites across the country where cities are focusing on neighborhoods and their data. You can see, I think I'm probably at number 50 there, I think, with the saying data over and over again. We were able to find some new sources by seeing where they got their data, but in some cases those sources weren't available in Louisiana. Again, triumphs and trials. It was important to comb through what's out there, though, in order to know what we can get now and what we may be able to get in the future. Our next steps for governance will be to create a formal governance structure along with data use agreements and protocols for data acquisition. At this point, we don't have protocols. We're just taking whatever we can get. Those activities will be conducted in the next few months. Some of what we have accomplished so far centers around data management. We conducted research on metadata, or data about our data. The Federal Geographic Data Committee is one model we use to help develop our metadata database. Replicating other models makes it much easier to identify what you do and do not need, rather than reinventing the wheel. Iteration is key, as even now we're refining our model to exclude or include elements as needed. We also identified components that were crucial in tracking as we acquired more data. Where the data came from, both a source organization, for example, the New Orleans Health Department or the U.S. Census Bureau, and the collection methodology, whether it was a census of data or a survey, and how, if it was a survey, how the sample was devised, were very important to track. The geographic level, as you might expect, is also important. We have some data sets with latitude and longitude, some with a non-geocoded address, and some with full geocodes. Which brings me to my next point about managing all of this data, clean data versus ready-to-use data. A data set might be clean in that the variables are all in the right place with no missing or incorrect values. However, if something like the geographic indicator is not in a standardized format, we considered it not yet ready to use. To go back to the voting data I talked about earlier, they coded parishes alphabetically with just a number. They just took it down in Excel, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, instead of using a FIPS code. It was important for us to document those challenges with the data, so in the future all of our data sets can be incorporated into the database in a usable format, not just a clean format. So at this point in the process, we're still coding the metadata for our new data sets and are developing protocols for reviewing new sources for quality. The next step is to use our data in analysis. So Northrop Grumman has taken a number of our data sets and are using data fusion techniques to explore, for example, crime, blight, and environmental data, both in space and over time. As this project advances, we will be able to demonstrate these innovative techniques specifically around the development of our neighborhood rankings. And I know Northrop Grumman has been demonstrating some of our data in some of the work they've been doing the rest of the conference. So we've developed the neighborhood rankings, and they're modeled off of the county health rankings, as you may expect. This first use of the data was chosen as it is both an excellent way to explore the data while using it and is a community-based use case. Eventually, we'd like to be able to create rankings for each neighborhood that community-based organizations can use in actionable ways, such as demonstrating to the city that their blight abatement rate is lower than other neighborhoods, or to help promote their neighborhood as a great place to live. The plan is to develop the rankings model with the data we have now and then to engage in community groups and members in how the rankings should be displayed and used. Through this acquisition process, we've also been able to identify data that would be helpful for other LPHI programs, showing that this process of data acquisition for the community health database has already been beneficial even before the formal database has been built. So our next steps for the project are to secure supplementary funding, to begin building the database structure, to conduct a gap analysis on our data to identify where we need to focus acquisition efforts, and to create a formal governance structure and data use agreements. Throughout this process, we faced a number of challenges which I think can be helpful to illustrate. So the first challenge is that our current work is actually subsidized by our organizations, and there's no explicit funding allocated to it. This has presented a challenge in the capacity of both LPHI and our partners to devote time to the project. However, our passion is to see this project through is keeping us going. We're all data nerds, we all love data, and so we'll do it in our free time, essentially. Secondly, we've discovered that some sectors have an enormous amount of data, but that sometimes having fewer sources with better quality is best. It takes time to sift through all of the data, but I think it's worth it in the end. Of course, competing priorities are always a challenge for everything. We've also discovered what I like to call the myth of the publicly available. You have someone say, oh, that's publicly available, and you go to the website, and as I said on the slide, if it's in a PDF, it's not a data set, which can be disappointing sometimes. The last challenge we faced is one I never thought I'd have. More data, more problems. One data source generously gave us the data for the entire country. This was both exciting and a challenge, as we then had to parse out Louisiana from all of the numerous data sets they sent, which took longer than expected. So it's important in a project like this to make room for these unexpected delays. These challenges are not insurmountable, however, and through experiencing them, we've identified a number of lessons which I hope can help others develop similar models. Lesson one is relationships, relationships, relationships. Through them, you'll find public sources of data that are new to you, and you will build trust that will help make partners feel comfortable sharing their proprietary data with you. Those partners also will then be willing to broker relationships with other organizations in order to get their data. Lesson two is patience. This journey has lasted a little over a year now, and it's important to help your partners sustain interest in a slow-moving process. We achieve that by incorporating project updates within already existing meetings or updates. So partners didn't have to come to yet another meeting, but they were made aware of our progress and our plans and that we hadn't forgotten about them. It's also important to engage partners only when needed, but always when needed. It's a delicate balance to strike, but it's critical in making sure partners are not overwhelmed by your requests while making sure they are at the table for important decisions. And lesson three is imagination. Part of our success has been because we're able to paint the picture of how this data can be used once everything is in place. We have a vision of creating a comprehensive risk prediction model that incorporate not only patient clinical data, but also data about where that person lives. That use case may be much further in the future, but our ability to imagine the potential of the database has caught the attention of many of our partners. It's also important to follow those use cases all the way down to an intervention, or as we call it, the so what. So you can show me how the park access in my neighborhood ranks lower than anywhere else in the city. So what? Our vision of partnerships and community focus can say, so your neighborhood association can use that data to apply for grants to help fix up your park, and then to interface with the police in order to get possible security sweeps to make the park safer. It's the real-world example of how using this data can make people's lives healthier, safer, and better that is the most powerful argument for our community health database. Thank you for your time, and does anyone have any questions? No, it's all subsidized by our organizations because they see that it's really important for us to have all of this data in one place to be able to do programming and research, so off of our free time, essentially. But they've been very supportive. Yes. Yeah, we're in the process of talking, particularly with Northrop, about who to approach for funding.
And then my other comment, also not a question,
That's okay.
So with the county health rankings, that sort of aggregate, pulling together different pieces of data to come up with a single ranking number, you know, it's sort of inherently crude and it's imperfect. And mm-hmm. We all know that. But those errors, I think, with the county health ranking, or at least, were particularly glaring to those who ranked at the bottom of the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a long-standing history working with the neighborhood associations. So our plan is to not publicly produce the rankings until we've done a lot of community engagement and talking about the rankings and even whether ranking is the appropriate way to produce this information. So we'll have a lot of input from the community before we do that. And in some cases, it depends on who you talk to. In a neighborhood, sometimes they want to be at the bottom, so they can go to the city and say, you guys need to help fix this. So that's where the kind of community engagement before dissemination will happen. Not yet. Most things come in Excel. I have a dedicated server, but if you think about big data, and we're looking at just Orleans Parish now, it actually doesn't end up taking up that much room. Because it's, you know, you have one indicator per census tract. But we will jump over that bridge when we come to it, I think. We haven't hit our capacity yet. Yes?
Why on Northrop Grumman, and exactly what do you mean by data fusion? What exactly are they doing? I'm assuming your organization's paying them?
No, they actually, we had talked to them, and this is where, again, relationships are so important. We had talked to them on another use case with Medicaid data that didn't end up coming through, and so they were still interested in working with us, and so we suggested this project, and they were interested, so they're devoting some of their R&D funding to it. And the data fusion technique, so they are looking at, for example, the calls for service, the 911 calls for service over time and density by neighborhood, and then also looking at other crime reporting. And I think one of the other things they're looking at is weather as well, so looking at the weather over time and whether or not that has any relation to calls for service or crime. So they're doing a lot of really cool stuff. It's in, you know, development phases, and I think they presented on some of it yesterday. Yes? Yeah, surprisingly enough, it does. We do have some that are shape files. But most of it, because we're thinking, you know, right now we're dealing with publicly available data, so it downloads as a CSV. Those, we have, and those tend to be in Excel. It's funny, I was actually presenting about this about 6 months ago at a conference, and there was someone from, I believe, the United Way, who said, well, what do you mean by data? And I said, if it's in a spreadsheet, it's a data set. It depends on the kind of data, but most of it we end up getting in Excel.
So then you're doing a lot of coding because they're not necessarily coding it all.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the process. That's part of the metadata review as well. Yeah. We will will be the gatekeepers of the data, and that's what our partners are comfortable with. So what we'll be able to do is it would come in as a request to LPHI, and then we would send the data back out with a flat file with the data in it and then a metadata description around it. That's what we track in the metadata database, which is right now it's just an access database. We're just doing it the simplest way possible, but we're looking to, as we develop, I mean, you know, once, as we get it funded, Northrop Grumman has some ideas for a Hadoop environment to be able to store all the data, but versioning is taken care of in the metadata. Yes, we do. We anticipate kind of two uses, flat files for researchers essentially, and then LPHI would generate custom reports for certain partners.